And thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Last week, if you were here, I shared with you about, personally, about three drives or thirst that every human being has within them. There's a thirst for significance. We want to be valued. We want to be deemed important. God put that in us. We have a thirst for significance. We also have a thirst or a drive as humans for security. We're born insecure. Little babies, when they're born, they clasp their hand just tight like that. You can open their little hand up and put your finger in, and they'll just clamp down on it. They need something. They want something to hold on to. We're born that way. It's not until we die that our hands open up. And so we have an insecurity issue, and we have a drive, a thirst within us for security. Everybody has it. And then we have a drive or a thirst for success. We want to achieve something, you know, whatever your definition of success is. You want to do this. I mean, that's a natural thing that God's placed, and every human being has it, whether they admit it or not. We have this thirst or this drive in us. And I shared with you last week how personally, as a young man, I started to as a young man, wanted to satisfy this thirst for significance and security and success as a young man going the world's way. And I thought that's what God wanted me to do. I thought that little bit of significance I was gaining by winning a contest, and then thinking that I had a talent, thinking I was better than I really was, and all that. I began to pursue that direction. And had I been left to myself, my life would have been absolutely a wreck. Would have been destroyed. It's only by the grace of God that I'm standing up here. Who, me? A pastor? Speaking the word of God to people? But see, that's what God's plan was for my life long before I ever realized it. I thought it was another plan. And I was bent on going my way to fulfill this thirst for significance, security, and success my way. And I kind of had my plans, and this is what I'm going to do and all that. But thank God none of that happened. He had another call. And it's too long of a story to get into of how he just kind of began to pull my heart back to where he wants it to be. And he's still pulling my heart back to stay and do what he wants me to do, because I could still have a tendency to want to run off and try to fulfill some craving for significance, security, success still my way according to the world. And it would be a disaster still. So I shared that with you last week, and I want to take off from there that, you know, you can go the world's way. The world offers you opportunities to fulfill to quench this thirst that you have in you for these things. And if you take time to read the word, you would see that there was a man who's already done that. His name was King Solomon. And he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. It's kind of a dark book in a way. When you read it, it can be kind of depressing. But he is a man that when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you see that he went out and tried to fulfill all this through the world. I mean, he went out and he did everything that he thought would fulfill this thirst, or quench this thirst for significance and security and success, the world's way. And he summed it all up. He said, you know what? All of everything I've done with my life, the conclusion of the whole matter is all of it is vanity. All is vanity and chasing after the wind. That's an expression that should be up on the screen next. PowerPoint, stay with me. The chasing after the wind is like this. You never can catch it. You can feel it, but it's like smoke. You try to grab a hold of it, and you can't. It's not there. So all of that all of the world's way of saying you can have significance, you can be important, you can be somebody, you can be noticed, you can be a famous person, you can have security by having all this money, you can achieve success and whatever your definition is. All of that is a chasing after the wind, the world's way. And it's better for you to find it out now than later. Now, it's interesting to me. Now, hang on. We're going to go from this to another plateau. When Jesus was upon the earth, for 30 years, he really didn't do anything that was significant other than being in the temple as a little boy, confounding the leaders, the religious leaders, with the wisdom of God. But he didn't heal anybody. He didn't do any miracles. For 30 years, he was maturing to the place to become a mature son. And at age 30, he reached it. He began his ministry. Baptized in the river Jordan by John the Baptist, and the voice of God came down before Jesus healed anybody, before he saved anybody, before he ever did a miracle. And the Father said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." See, pleasing God has nothing to do with what you're doing. It has to do with relationship first. It's relational. And so when Jesus was on the earth, as a Jew, he did what Jews were supposed to do. At that time, he was under the law. He was fulfilling the law. He went to all the various feasts. He went to one particular feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody say tabernacles. Tabernacles was a feast that God ordained in the Old Testament under Moses. It's called Sukkoth, and it's a feast of booths. It's to remind Israel that when they were out in their forefathers, when they were out in the wilderness for 40 years, God protected them. They lived under little makeshift booths and tents, temporary dwelling places. But God was with them. And he supernaturally provided for them. He supernaturally protected them. He supernaturally helped them. He protected them from the enemies and all of those things. And every year, the Jews would come to Jerusalem to celebrate in the fall a Feast of Tabernacles, remembering that God himself had tabernacled with his people. Now, in the Bible, there are three tabernacles. There was a wilderness tabernacle that Moses was commanded by God to tell the people to build, and that was more like a tent type structure. And then there was a tabernacle that Solomon built. If you go to Orlando to the, what do you call that place? Holy Land Experience, you can see kind of a replica of some of that big structure. But there's a third tabernacle. Jesus in bodily form. God's presence on earth. And so here, picture this. Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles, about an 8-day feast. And every day they'd have parades, they'd have flutes, it's a very joyful celebration as people are going around celebrating the fact that God is with his people. He helped us in the past. God was with us in the past. And we also know prophetically, according to Ezekiel, that God's going to come back in the millennial, in the future, and dwell right here in the city of Jerusalem. And so they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, that God was with us in the past. And God was with us, will be with us in the future, when Jew and Gentile will worship together in the holy city of Jerusalem. And it's a wonderful festive time. And here is the tabernacle of God right there in their midst, and they don't even know it. And they go through this thing for 8 days, and Jesus is there. And in John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, "Now on the final and the most important day of the feast," because the priest would go get water out of the pool of Siloam and pour it out and do different things like that. "On the final day of the feast, Jesus stood up, and he cried with a loud voice." You don't like somebody being loud? Well, here's the time Jesus was very loud. all these people there. And Jesus stood up with a loud voice and he said, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me. If anybody's thirsty, come to me. If after 8 days you're going through the Feast of Tabernacles and your thirst is still not quenched, come to me. If after going through all these religious ceremonies and you don't feel any closer to God and you've done all this stuff, come to me. You see how controversial that would have been? On the last day of all things, he waited at that particular time and he stood up and he declared that. And then verse 38 goes on to say, he who believes in me, who cleaves to, trusts in, relies on me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow continuously springs of living water. I think he got their attention. Are you still thirsty for God after all your religious stuff? After you've gone through all your ceremony? Are you satisfied? Because if you're thirsty, come to me. Many had heard him preach. Many wondered about him. Could this be the Messiah? Many were undecided. Now, this is the last day of the feast, so most of these people are going to go home because most of them didn't live in Jerusalem. Most of them are going to go back to where they came from. This may be their last opportunity to hear Jesus. So you see, he's giving an invitation. He's making a heartfelt plea. He's standing up in the midst of all the ceremony, and he's crying out with a loud voice. If you're still thirsty, you're not going to find God in religion. You're not going to find him in your form and your festivities. I'm right here. If you're thirsty, come to me. I can quench those thirsts that I know and you know that you have. We no longer have Jesus in physical body on the earth, but we do now have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God that was in Jesus, that was speaking through him these words. His Spirit, it's called living water. How do you get this living water today? We're in church, we're hearing now. Preacher, how do we get what Jesus said we could have in us today? Notice what Jesus said. He that believeth on me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Believeth on me, not believeth in me, but believe on me. Believing on me is much more than just believing in. Believing on is an into. It is a cleaving to. It is a trusting in. It's a relying on. And when you believe on Jesus, you come in your own heart and life with all these thirsts that you have with a place to a place of rest. Because I believe on him. What he said is truth. And you rest. Now, you may not be catching on yet. Hang on. It's very important to understand this. When you drink of his water, that Jesus, if you come to me and drink this water, supernaturally, the water that you drink from him by faith, in faith, becomes a river on the inside of you that flows out of you. And I want to outline four ways in which this literally happens. We must cooperate with God. It ain't going to happen like you can't come here and fold your hands and say, well, God, if you're here, show yourself. Well, if God wants to touch me, he'll touch me. God wants me to speak in tongues, I'll speak in tongues. Well, it don't work that way. It works by your cooperation and your believing on what he said, followed by action. A lot of people don't get things from God because they're just sitting there, they're coming to God like this. Okay, I believe in God. Do it, God, just do it. You're not coming to God the right way. There are four specific ways, and I'm not going to get through all of this right now. But it's come, listen, buy, and eat. Now we're going to go to Isaiah 55, where this literally is written. Isaiah 55, the prophet Isaiah is prophesying. He says, ho. In other words, that's like, whoa, stop and think about this. Whoa, this is important. Listen, this is words from God. Everyone who thirsts, come ye to where? To the waters. And he that hath no money, what do you do? Come, buy, and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without any price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which doesn't satisfy? Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight in fatness or spiritual joy. Incline your ear and come unto me and hear, and your soul will live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, which we have available today. Covenant of grace. Even the sure mercies of David. Oh, the sure mercies of David. You'll see that phrase come up quite often in the Old Testament. What are the sure mercies of David? David was a man who saw things ahead of his time. And he saw in how merciful and gracious God was, and God rather showed compassion than judgment any day. And of course, he wrote about that. Surely the goodness of mercy will follow me all the days of my life, David wrote. But go back to that scripture so they can keep up there in mind what I'm talking about. He said, I'll show you the sure mercies of David. Did David have a lot of mercy on his life? What about with Bathsheba? What about killing Uriah? He had a lot of mercy from God. The sure mercies of David went beyond him to his sons and his grandchildren. And when you see this show up in other places in Scripture, many times God says, well, I'm not going to judge him, or I'm not going to do something to one of David's ancestors because of something bad they did. He says, because he remembers the sure mercies of David. Solomon was the king after David, and Solomon did a lot of wrong things. And yet God didn't snuff him out. God didn't hurt him because of the mercy he'd promised David. Are you with me? I'm telling you that if you're in Christ Jesus, you're born from above. Because you're in Christ Jesus, your seed, your children, and your grandchildren are blessed and don't even know it. They're going to be protected from some things they may never know about simply because of you. God remembers his covenant of grace with you. He's remembered your prayers just like he did with David. That's a whole nother sermon. Come to the waters. That's what he says. The first thing, come to the water. Instead of bringing my thirst that I know I have a craving or desire for significance, for security, for success, or whatever else it may be, instead of bringing that thirst to the world to satisfy, It goes along with what the word, a little bit of what the word Geraldine was trying to express to you. Don't go whoring after other gods. God's people are not to go to the world to satisfy their thirst. That's like going to a prostitute. Don't go a whoring after other gods or other things of the world. Come to the waters. Jesus is just as bold today, standing before you, and he's looking to his church, and he says, are you, any of you, thirsty? Are you going to church week after week and you still not satisfied? Are you going through the form of religion? Are you singing the songs? Are you clapping your hands? Are you having all the festivities? Are you giving your tithes and your offering and you're doing all that and you're still thirsty? And then Jesus boldly just comes up and says, look, come to me. You can go to church and not meet Jesus. You can go to church and just go to church. That's what they were doing in Jesus' day. You haven't come to the waters. Jesus said, I got living water. I got the stuff that'll quench the thirst that drives it in you. I got the stuff that'll clean you up of that addiction. I've got the stuff in you that'll break those habits. I've got it, but you got to come to me. It's not to a pastor. It's not to a certain church. You come to me. That's what he's saying. I don't know if you get that. It's really not complicated. But here's the question. Where am I taking my thirst? My thirst for success? My thirst for significance? My thirst for security? Where am I taking it? You're taking it somewhere. Sometimes you take it to places of escape. I just got to get out of here. I can't be here anymore. I got to get away for a while. I have to escape. Or you're taking it to something that will numb this pain you have in you, this gnawing inside you where you know that thirst is not quenched yet. And maybe you don't even know why. So you'll numb it with something. Maybe you'll numb it with alcohol, or drugs, or pornography, or whatever it is you do. You'll try to numb it. The problem is the numbing wears off. Or possessions. You think, boy, if I can just get enough money here, I'm gonna be okay. Listen, church, listen, please. The Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. You can have a love of money and be poor. You don't have money, and yet you have a love of money, and it's revealed by your words. That's all you talk about. Boy, if I just win the lottery. What does that say? You got a love of money. You think that money's going to quench that thirst. Now, money can help a lot of things. I'm not against money, but what I'm saying is, you can have a love of money, and God can't bless you with money because you have a love of money. He's not going to feed your idol. So, you have to cut the root. The love of money is the root of all evil. How do I cut the root of the love of money? You can be rich and have love of money. Still, all you talk about is your big deals you're going to make, and money you're going to make, and money you have, and this and that, and this and that, and this and that. That's revealing you have a love of money. God designed one way to cut the love of money off from his people. You ain't going to like it. Tithe. That'll cut it off because you give God the first part and you have to pray now about the 90% you have and God will meet your needs. This may be a hard word for somebody. I'm not trying to spank you. The Word of God may spank you. But if you're not tithing right now, that's between you and God. I'm not going around checking the records. I used to do that. I don't anymore. That's, God, that's your business. I'll preach the truth. You correct your children. So, but anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. But the tithe and how, if you're not tithing, this is not a spanking, but if you're not tithing, what are you trusting in? Talk's cheap. God expects you to put him first in the area of finances. On earth is the only place you're going to do that. I'd say that if I wasn't pastor of this church, I'd preach that anywhere. So this is God's way. One of the ways that God frees us from some of the things of this world and from of the false security that money can give you is tithing. It severs, it cuts that root. Now let me ask you a question. Do you buy that? Some of you don't. And you'll walk out and say, I don't buy that. You ought to buy it. Come listen, buy, and eat. Now, we've had a lot of things go on this morning, and I know how your biological clock goes off, and you know you want to go eat. I understand. I don't normally do this, and I believe the Lord was telling me this morning, so I wouldn't be disappointed. I know I have a word from God here, and we're just now stepping into it. But I have the time, but I don't want you to have the dullness of heart not to be able to receive it all. If it's a word from God, it's very important that it has your undivided attention. And so therefore, what I want to do, totally spontaneous, is call for a worship service tonight, okay, at 6:30. If you can be here, be here. If there's one person here, it ain't going to hurt my feelings at all because I'm doing what God's told me to do. I'm going to preach this message. I'm going to preach it all, and I'm not going to be in a hurry because he told me this morning, don't be in a hurry. It's okay. So this was a clear confirmation. I've been asking a couple of people, my wife and a couple other people to pray. I said, I didn't tell them what it was about. I said, if I'm supposed to do this, I really need clear confirmation. Well, when I have the clock staring at me, it's after 12. That's pretty good confirmation. Yeah. Don't go and try to dump the whole truckload off at one time. People won't get it. You need to get this word. So tonight, Grayson, I'd like a couple of worship songs, really powerful worship songs. Bring us in the presence of the Lord. There you are. Okay. Yeah. And come on out. And I'm going to deliver the rest of this word. And however God wants to direct the service, that's fine. That's his business. So that's just the way it is. It's God's church, folks. See, this is God's church. I work for him. He's the boss. So I say that, and I believe I really mean it. Because I've said a lot of things before, later on I realized, well, I didn't really mean what I said. But I really believe I do mean that it's his church. So I believe that's what he would have us do tonight, that we would come back tonight at 6:30. If you're thirsty, you'll come.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.